cardamom and the bonds that it makes and how it helps us as students to grow spiritually. Lord, we just thank you so much for that. Lord, as I'm speaking tonight, Lord, I pray that I would not stand in the way of your message being presented. And Lord, I pray that all who would hear it would hear it with open hearts and open minds. Thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that does for us, and forgive us for all of our sins. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4 is where we're going to camp out tonight. I've been assigned the topic, A Prophet and a People, from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. We'll start reading there in verse 6. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth." Tonight, before we get into anything application related, I want us to talk about the context of what we are reading, what we're going to find in Zechariah chapter 4. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 4. The first question that we have to ask tonight is, who is Zerubbabel that we're talking about? Let's go to chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 8 there. "Now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brothers and the priests and the Levites, and all who came from captivity to Jerusalem, began the work and appointed the Levites from 20 years and older to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers stood united with Kadmiel and his sons and the sons of Judah and the sons of Henadad with their sons and brothers of the Levites to oversee the workmen in the temple of God. Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the direction of the King David of Israel. They sang praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever.' And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Yet many of the priests and Levites, and heads of the fathers' households, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, while many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shout of joy from the trumpet of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard far away. Now when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the people of the exile were building a temple to the Lord God of Israel, they approached Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' households and said to them, 'Let us build with you, for we, like you, seek your God. And we have been sacrificing to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us up here.' But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' households of Israel said to them, 'You have nothing in common with us in building a house to our God. But we ourselves will together build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us.' Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and frightened them from building." I know that was a lot, but I want us to really understand the context of what we're seeing. Zerubbabel was the leader of the tribe of Judah. He was the governor over the tribe of Judah. And he and his people have just been released from Babylonian captivity. And they come back to their home in Jerusalem, and they find everything is in ruin. All of their houses are in ruin, and the temple is what is most important, is in ruin. And Zerubbabel has been tasked with rebuilding the temple of God. Now, when you think about it, you might think, well, that's not that big of a deal, right? All he's got to do is rebuild this building. Until you think about what the first temple was. And there was no way, as we'll see, as we'll look at, there was no way that this second temple that Zerubbabel was going to build was going to be anything like Solomon's temple. In 1 Kings 5, 13 to 18, you don't have to turn there, we're not going to read from it, but we see that when Solomon had his temple built, he had 30,000 forced laborers, 70,000 transporters, 80,000 hewers of stone in the mountain, and 3,300 chief deputies who were to oversee the project of building the temple. He had 180,000 workers plus 3,300 people who were overseeing the project. He had pretty much unlimited funds for his temple. And now Zerubbabel, after being released from Babylonian captivity, is tasked with building, rebuilding this temple. And that's why when we were reading from Ezra chapter 3, when it said that the older men were weeping because of what they saw, because of the foundation that they saw, because they remembered what Solomon's temple looked like 70 years before. They knew what it looked like, and they saw how different the foundation for this temple was. And they were weeping so loud that you couldn't tell if people were shouting for joy or if people were weeping. And so what we see in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, is a discouraged Zerubbabel and a discouraged people. Because there was no way that what they were going to build, that the temple that they were going to build, was going to be anything like Solomon's temple. Let's go look again at Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The first thing I want to take away from Zechariah tonight is that it is not about the power that we have, but it's about the power that God has. I want you to put yourself in Zerubbabel's shoes. I want you to think about what he was dealing with, what he was tasked with. It seemed like an impossible task. Because he and his people had just been released from captivity, and they were coming back, and when they saw their homes, when they saw all of Jerusalem, it was in ruins, and it was their job to rebuild it all. So not only did they not have near as many people as Solomon had at his disposal, but they were also discouraged by what they were looking at. I would like to stand before you right now and say, if I were Zerubbabel, I would have stepped up and I would have been the hero of the day. And I would have said, it's no big deal. We're going to do this. No problem. We're going to rebuild this temple. And if it doesn't look like the first one, that's okay. But we're going to do exactly what God says. And that's how it's going to be. But when I really take a step back and I think about what if I was Zerubbabel? What if I were him? As the ruler of all of these people, and I'm standing back and I'm looking at how discouraged they are. We've built the foundation of the temple, and people are so upset. People are so discouraged. Not only are they discouraged because of what they see from the foundation and how it's not like the first temple, but also what we saw in Ezra chapter 4, where they were frightened from building. And when I put myself in Zerubbabel's shoes, I think, how in the world would I have mustered up the fight to rebuild this temple? But see, I don't live in a life of Babylonian captivity. I don't live a life of where I have just been released from Babylonian captivity and I have come home to see that everything that was my home has been ruined. How easy is it for us to get discouraged? Just like Zerubbabel. How easy is it for us in our daily lives when we look out and see what's going on in the world? For those of you that saw anything about the news this morning and you saw that there were bombs and suspicious packages sent to the Clintons and the Obamas and CNN headquarters and I think the governor of New York maybe and lots of people like that, and you take a look at what's going on in the world and things like that, how easy is it to get discouraged from doing what we're supposed to be doing? How easy is it to step back and say, how in the world am I supposed to work to build up God's kingdom when stuff like this is going on in the world? But I love what the angel says to Zechariah. In verse 6, when he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel was discouraged. He didn't know how he was going to do what God tasked him with doing. But the amazing thing is, God's telling him, you don't have to do it alone. Not by your power, Zerubbabel, not by your might, but by my spirit, will you be able to do this? God tells Zerubbabel, you don't have to do it by yourself. Not only was Zerubbabel's task a difficult one, but I would be willing to say that without God's help, it would have been impossible. Without the help of God, it would not have been possible for Zerubbabel to do what he had to do what God asked him to do. And thankfully, Zerubbabel didn't say, I'm going to do this all myself. When we get discouraged by the things that are going on in our world, whatever it may be that discourages you, whether it is you looking out and you seeing what's going on in the world and saying, how am I supposed to evangelize to a people like this? Or whether it is the constant struggle that you have with trying to do the right thing, with trying to glorify God with all that you do and to build up His kingdom, whatever it may be that discourages you, think about what God said to Zerubbabel. It's not by your power. It's not by your might, but by my spirit. Let's look now to verse 7. Verse 7 of Zechariah chapter 4. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Many obstacles in life seem like mountains to climb. But the fact of the matter is, God can make those mountains into plains. When I looked at this verse, when I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think of different stories that I've heard of people trying to climb the world's tallest mountains. When I think of people, of stories that I've heard of people trying to climb Mount Everest and how difficult that is and how good of shape you have to be in, and you hear of people that die along the way because they just can't make it to the top. See, the obstacles that we face in our lives sometimes seem mountainous. We don't have time to look at it, but throughout the Bible, mountains are used as an analogy to talk about obstacles. And I love this analogy that's used here in verse 7, because the task that Zerubbabel was commissioned to do was mountainous. But because of God's power, because of God's might, which is what we saw in verse 6, God was going to make that mountain into a plain. I imagine Zerubbabel, coming back from captivity and knowing what he had to do, knowing that he was tasked as the ruler of all of these people to rebuild this temple. And I imagine him standing back and overlooking all of his people, overlooking all of Jerusalem and saying, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how it's going to get done. We have limited resources. We have limited people. On top of that, you've got people that are discouraged because the foundation doesn't look like the first temple. And then you've got what we see in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 4, that the people were frightened away from building the temple. And I just imagine Zerubbabel standing back and saying, this mountain is too tall to climb. This mountain is too difficult to climb. I don't know what the mountains are in your life that you have to climb. I don't know if those mountains look like financial issues. I don't know if those mountains look like issues at school. I don't know if those mountains look like a temptation that no matter what, no matter how hard you seem to try, you cannot get past that. I don't know what your mountain is, but God can make it into a plain. But I want you to look at the wording of verse 7. It says, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. That wording struck me because it doesn't say specifically, God is going to make that mountain a plain. Instead, it says, because of Zerubbabel, that mountain is going to be made a plain. But you look back up at verse 6, and how is Zerubbabel able to get that power? How is he able to, through him, make that mountain a plain? Through the power of God. You see, in our lives, whatever it may be, whether it's a personal situation or whether we are just trying to build up the kingdom of God on a bigger scale, whatever it is, God needs to use us. We are God's hands and feet on this earth. We are God's workmanship. Zerubbabel didn't stand back and say, okay, God, if you've got the power to do it, then I'm just going to stand back and let you do it. No, Zerubbabel used the power of God that he was given, and he did it. See, we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to go out and to do God's will. Not sit back and say, okay, God, if you have the power to fix all of the evil in the world, then you just do it and I'm going to sit back and let it happen. No, we are called to be the hands and feet of God. We are called to be His workmanship. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. With me very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, a verse that we know so well, says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." I'm afraid that so many times when people read this verse and when they think about what it's saying, we stop at no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And we stop there. And we say, God's never going to give us anything more than we can handle. And we forget the second part of that verse. We forget that the rest of that verse says, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. I don't think Paul is saying to these people in Corinth, you are so strong that God's never going to give you anything more than you can handle. There's not going to be any temptation that you are not going to be able to handle yourself. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think that what Paul is saying is that we are not strong enough by ourselves, but with our temptations that we are faced with, God is going to provide a way of escape. You see, Zerubbabel couldn't do it on his own. The mountain that he had to climb was too much for himself. There was no way that he could do it by himself. But because of God's power, because of God's might, that mountain that Zerubbabel had to climb was made into a plain. And I want you to know tonight that whatever mountain it is that you have to climb, like I said, whether it be a family issue, a social issue, a financial issue, an issue with temptations that you're facing, whatever it is, as long as you will give your life over to God completely, He will make your mountains into a plain. Let's continue on looking in Zechariah. We'll finish out in verses 8 through 10. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, for who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth." I think this story that we've read tonight in Zechariah 4, 6 through 10, it really talks about the theme Ed Estes here this semester, the little things, big God, perfectly. When I was studying for this lesson, I came across a quote. An author said, "Bible history is the record of God using small things. When God wanted to set the plan of salvation in motion, he started with a little baby named Isaac," Genesis chapter 21. "When he wanted to overthrow Egypt and set his people free, he used a baby's tears," Exodus 2, 1 through 10. "He used a shepherd's boy and a sling to defeat a giant," 1 Samuel 17, "and a little lad's lunch to feed a multitude," John 6. "He delivered the apostle Paul from death by using a basket and a rope," Acts 9, 23 through 25. "Never despise the day of small things, for God is glorified in small things and uses them to accomplish great things." I love that last sentence. I'm going to read it again. "Never despise the day of small things, for God is glorified in small things and uses them to accomplish great things." Our God is amazing. It's so amazing to me that he can take the smallest of things and use them for such big purposes. I love in that quote that I just read all of the different examples that that author uses of David and Goliath, of the feeding of the 5,000, of Paul escaping death, of all of those different things, and how small the things were that God used and how big of an impact all of them have made on us today. God uses the smallest of things. You see, to me, when I first read this story in Zechariah, I don't know about y'all, it wasn't a story that I was extremely familiar with. But when I read it, it didn't seem to me like a huge thing. It didn't seem to me like such this great accomplishment, but the more I looked at it, the more I saw that God used such a small thing of rebuilding his temple for such a great, greater plan. Tonight, I want us, as we close out, I want us to focus on the encouragement that we're blessed to see from Zechariah. Zerubbabel was in a situation, like I said earlier, that seemed impossible. It looked like he had no resources. It looked like even the people that he did have to help him were so discouraged that they weren't going to do it. But he didn't take the task upon himself. That's the amazing thing that we see from Zechariah, is that he didn't do what I do, I don't know about you, but what I do so many times, and say, I can do this myself. Instead, he let God make his mountain into a plain. When you're discouraged in your walk with God, because I know that we all are at some points, when you are discouraged by the things that are going on in your life, I want you to think about what verse 6 says. We'll read it one more time. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." When you are discouraged, when you are facing a mountain that seems too difficult to climb, realize that you don't have to do it alone. Realize that you can't do it alone. Realize that if you take it upon yourself, every time something comes up and discourages you or a temptation seems to overtake you and you say, I can get through this on my own, you will fail. But when we give our all over to God, and when we allow God to control what goes on, and we allow God to use us to build his kingdom up, that's when things are going to get done. That is when we are going to be encouraged instead of discouraged. When I was looking at this lesson and thinking about it, a song came to my mind that I've heard from the a cappella group Praise and Harmony that I'm sure most of you are familiar with, and it's called Eye of the Storm. And part of the song, it says, "When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I pictured slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm." I want you, the next time you are discouraged, the next time something comes your way that seems too big to tackle, I want you to look to Zechariah. And I want you to look to what the angel of the Lord said to Zechariah about Zerubbabel. And I want you to see what the power of God can do. Tonight, maybe you're struggling. Maybe temptation has overtaken you. Maybe you have reached so many mountains that seem too difficult to climb that you want to give up. Maybe you need tonight to come back and to give your life over to the Lord again. Maybe you just need the prayers and the support of this church, or maybe even you've not become a follower of Christ and you're ready to let him take over your life. If there is anything that we can do for you right now, please come as together we stand and sing.